Cognition of the Spiritual World. Much paper has been wasted by philosophers in their discussion of the impossibility of comprehending the Creator. Judaism, as a doctrine founded on the personal experimentation of the Kabbalists, explains, how can we discourse on the possibility or impossibility of perceiving the Creator prior to perceiving Him? Any delineation implies a certain measure of perception. Therefore, it is first necessary to define what is meant by the concepts of impossibility of perception and infinity. On what basis can we maintain that we understand these notions? It is clear that when we speak of comprehending the Creator, we imply only the perception within our sensory organs and our intellect of the object that is being explored, just as it occurs in all other research in our world. Moreover, all concepts must be understandable to everyone in our world, just as any other concepts that are being researched. Thus, the concepts must embody something tangible and real, something that can be discerned by our sensory organs. The closest boundary of perception is found in the organs of tactile sensation, when we come in direct contact with the external boundary of the object in question. With regard to the sense of hearing, we're no longer in direct contact with the object itself, but rather we come in contact with the intermediary transmitting third object, like air, which has had contact with the external boundary of the examined object, be it the vocal cords of a human being or the oscillating surface that emits a sound wave. In a similar manner, the spiritual organs of perception are used to perceive the Creator. A sensation of contact, much like a tactile sensation, with the external boundary of the created being is known as the prophetic vision. On the other hand, a contact that's been infracted by a certain other medium that came into contact with the external boundary of the created being, much like the sensation of hearing, is known as prophetic hearing. Prophetic vision is considered to be the most obvious disclosure, just as in our world we desire to see an object and consider this to be the most complete perception of the object, because we come into direct contact with the light emanating from the Creator Himself. On the other hand, prophetic hearing, the voice of the Creator, is defined by Kabbalists as incomprehensible as opposed to prophetic vision. It's similar to our ability to hear sound waves, since what we're really sensing are signals of the intermediary spiritual object which emanate from the contact of the intermediary object with the external boundary of the Creator. These waves, just as in the case of the prophetic vision, are interpreted within our consciousness as sound waves. A Kabbalist who's attained the prophetic cognition of the Creator first perceives Him through his spiritual counterparts of sight or hearing, and afterwards interprets what he's perceived. Notably, the comprehension of the seen phenomenon gives him complete cognition, whereas the phenomenon that was heard imparts the understanding of incomprehensibility. But just as in our world, even hearing alone is sufficient to grasp the qualities of the object of cognition. Even a person blind from birth senses many qualities of the surrounding people. So the spiritual cognition derived through hearing is also sufficient. This is due to the fact that spiritual hearing, the information that reaches one, contains within it all the other concealed qualities. The commandment of comprehending the Creator, in essence, is reduced to the perception of Him by means of spiritual sight and hearing, to such a degree that one should be absolutely certain that he is conscious, so to speak, of a full visual and audible contact with the Creator, that which is called face-to-face. Creation and governing occur due to two opposing phenomena, the concealment of the omnipotence of the Creator and the gradual revelation of His omnipotence to the point that the creations can perceive Him through their corrected qualities. For this reason, one of the names of the Creator in Hebrew is Meitzil, from the word tzel, shadow. There is another name as well, bore, derived from the words bo re'e, come and see. Consequently, from these worlds were derived the names of the two worlds, Atzilut and Bariah. We're incapable of comprehending the true state of creation, but only that which is perceived by our senses, both material and spiritual. All that exists in the world is derived by our consciousness into either an emptiness or sufficiency, even though the learned people insist that there's really no such concept as complete emptiness or vacuum. It's true that this concept is above our comprehension, because even the absence of something must be understood by us through our senses. but we are able to sense an absence or an emptiness if we conceptualize the relation of that which exists in this world to us after our death. But even during our life in this world, we possess a similar sensation, namely that everything outside our bodies is somehow absent and does not really exist at all. The truth is the exact antithesis of our sensation. That which is outside of us is actually eternal and existing, but we ourselves are nothing and disappear into nothing. These two concepts within us are absolutely inadequate, because our sensations lead us to believe that everything in existence is connected to us and exists only in this framework with us and within us, whereas everything that is outside of us does not carry any worth. But objective reason contends the opposite, namely that we ourselves are insignificant and everything outside of us is eternal. Grasping higher spiritual levels. That infinitely small portion of the upper light, which exists in all objects both of animate and inanimate nature, determining their existence, is known as the small light, called Nihirodakik. The prohibition of revealing the secrets of the Kabbalah stem from the concern that there may appear disdain for the Kabbalah. Everything unknown elicits respect and is perceived as something valuable. Such is the nature of human beings. A poor person prizes a penny, but once he comes to possess a million, he prizes the million no longer, but only 2 million has any worth in his eyes, and so forth. The same pattern may be observed in science. All that is still unknown elicits respect and is considered valuable, but once it becomes known and understood, it's no longer valued. Then, new unknown objects take the place of the previous ones and become the focus of pursuit. For this reason, the secrets of the Kabbalah cannot be revealed to the masses, because once they grasp them, they will grow to disdain the Kabbalah. But the secrets of the Kabbalah may be revealed to the Kabbalist, because they seek to expand their knowledge, just as the scientists of this world do. Though they do not value their knowledge, yet that fact in itself prompts them to seek the understanding of that which is still unknown. Thus, the entire world is created for those that seek to grasp the mysteries of the Creator. Those who sense and grasp the upper light of life that emanates from the Creator, called Or Chachma, nevertheless do not grasp the Creator or his essence in the process. But no mistake should be made with respect to those who grasp higher spiritual levels. Those who perceive the spiritual levels and the light particular to those levels do not only perceive the mere light, but grasp the Creator. Because a Kabbalist cannot attain even the lowest spiritual level if he does not grasp the Creator and his qualities in relation to us that pertain to that particular spiritual level. In our world, we come to understand our friends according to their actions towards us and towards others. After we've become acquainted with the various qualities of a certain individual, like one's kindness, envy, anger, ability to compromise, and so on, we can assert that we know that individual. Similarly, after a Kabbalist grasps all actions and the divine manifestation in those actions, the Creator is revealed to the Kabbalist in a completely comprehensible way by means of light. If the spiritual levels and the light emanating from them do not carry with them the possibility of perceiving the Creator himself, then we consider them impure. Himself implies, just as in our world, that we gain an impression of someone through the actions and do not feel the urge to find out anything else, since that which cannot be perceived by us at all does not elicit in us interest or a need to be perceived. Impure forces such as Klipa and Sitra Achra are the forces that dominate a person, preventing that person from delighting in every pleasure that comes to him in order for that person to become satisfied with the little that he experiences. In other words, these forces prompt the individual to be satisfied with the knowledge that he already possesses, to be content with the peel, the klipa, to leave the actual fruit inside. Therefore, the intellect of the individual cannot understand the purpose of working for the sake of the Creator, because of the interference caused by the impure forces, which do not allow that individual to understand the hidden meaning of the Kabbalah. In a spiritual object, the light which fills its top half, from the Rosh, or the head, to the Tabor, or the navel, is called the past. The light which fills its bottom half is called the present. The surrounding light, which did not yet enter the object, but is still waiting its turn to be revealed, is called the future. If an individual has fallen spiritually and his egoistic desires have increased, then the importance of the spiritual decreases in the eyes of that person. But a spiritual decline is sent from above for a purpose, in order to impart on a person the understanding that he is still in spiritual exile. This should in turn prompt one to pray for redemption. But we will not find true serenity until we elevate our preordained purpose above all else, that is, the spiritual liberation of ourselves and of all mankind. Exile is a spiritual concept, called galut. It is not the physical enslavement that was experienced by all nations at some point in their history. Galut is the enslavement of each of us by our worst enemy, egoism. Moreover, this enslavement is so sophisticated that we're not aware of the fact that we're constantly working for that master, for the external force which has possessed us and which dictates to us our own wishes. We, like insane people, do not realize this and strive with all our effort to carry out all its demands. Truly, our state can be likened to that of the mentally ill who perceive imaginary voices to be commands, or worse yet, true personal desires, and who carry out these commands and desires. Our true galut is the exile from the spiritual, the incapacity to be in contact with the Creator and to work for Him alone. The awareness of being in this state of galut is a precondition for the liberation from it. At first, the body is inclined to study the Kabbalah and to put forth the effort needed to understand the spiritual because it sees certain benefits in spiritual knowledge. However, when one begins to realize all the implications of the real work for the sake of the Creator, and when one is forced to ask for one's liberation, then the person pushes away such redemption, convincing himself that it's impossible to succeed in such work. Thus, once again, that person becomes the slave of his own reason. That is, that person returns to the ideals of the material life. The redemption from such a state can only be found in acting according to faith above reason. A spiritual descent does not imply the loss of faith. Through additional revelations of one's egoism, the Creator grants one the possibility to put forth an extra effort, and in so doing to increase one's faith. The former level of faith was not lost, but in comparison to the work ahead, it's experienced by an individual as a spiritual decline. Our world is created in likeness to the spiritual one, with the exception that it's formed from egoistic matter. We can gain significant knowledge from the surrounding world, if not about the qualities of the spiritual objects, then at least about their interrelation, according to the analogy with our world. The spiritual world also contains such concepts as world, a desert, a settlement, countries, etc. All spiritual actions or commandments may be maintained on any level, except for the commandment of love and fear. These commandments are revealed only to those who have attained the spiritual level of the land of Israel, or Eretz Yisrael. Within the level of Eretz Yisrael, there's a sub-level known as Jerusalem, or Yerushalayim, derived from the words Yira, fear, and Shalem, complete. The desire to experience trepidation before the Creator, which assists one in freeing oneself from egoism.